I kind of think this is the one of my most favorite occasions. Usually not at this temperature, you know, but everybody's sitting closer. I think that's nice. Necessary, but nice. I don't know, it's been maybe 18 years ago or so. I was just innocently praying one day and thinking about Christmas, and it was, you know, the week before Christmas or something, and I'm always trying to come up with something that I haven't said before, and when you say as many things as I do, that's really hard. And all of a sudden, the Lord just kind of started speaking to me about what happened and how we celebrate not just Christmas, but Christmas Eve. And so I put a little something together. I'm going to read it to you in just a minute. And I had that happen. I thought that was great. That's what I used for our Christmas Eve service. And then, I don't know, 6, 8, 10 years ago, I did that again just because it felt like it was time to do that again. And tonight I feel like it's time to do that again. So it's not so much that I'm going to lace what I say with layers and layers of Scripture, but everything I say is going to come from having been laced with layers and layers of Scripture. Nothing's more important than recognizing and understanding the wealth that we have that's in the Scriptures. Bible is, Martin Luther says, the Bible is the cradle where Jesus is laid. I like that, don't you? And so it's a little different in the sense that I'm not going to expositorily speak tonight, but I do want to share a couple of thoughts with you that other people have had about Christmas and Christmas Eve. Philip Brooks says this, everywhere, Christmas tonight, for the Christ child who comes is the master of all, and there's no place too great and no cottage too small. I like that. He's across the culture. The gospel is not so much a demand as it is an offer of new life to man by the grace of God. Grace comes from the heart of a gracious God, a God who wants to stun you and overwhelm you with a gift that you don't deserve. Salvation, adoption, a spiritual ability to use in the kingdom service, answered prayer, the church, his presence, his wisdom, his guidance, his love. Catherine Marshall says, when we invite Jesus into our lives, we experience life in the fullest, most vital sense. Put me in that line. And then Billy Graham says, I've been all over the world. He most certainly had been. He said, I've never met anyone who regretted giving their life to Christ. I want to tell you, whether you're watching online tonight or if you're here with us in this building, if you've never given your heart to the Lord, I don't know too many promises I can make to you, but this one I can make. You'll never regret a minute of it. Amen? So, thank you, sir. Keep that up. See, this idea of God giving, it's, you know, it's immense, it's wonderful, you think about it, but it's the undeservingness. The Bible says, while we were yet enemies, I still haven't gotten over that one, because I was an enemy and I knew it. He did too, and he changed that for me. I'm not an enemy anymore. But while we were enemies, he did things for us that nobody would do for anybody. And while we were yet enemies. Why? Because he's a father and he's building a family. And that's how he works. So I want to talk to you tonight about three things. A cradle, a table, and a cross. A cradle, common yet profound. A simple manger, a lowly manger, low enough to accommodate a working class woman's child. Low enough that astonished shepherds could lean in and look upon a baby's radiant face. Low enough to be a perfect fit for a childlike faith. Low enough, yet high enough as well. High enough that even kings and dignitaries could bow down and look up to see divine life in human form, to gaze upon prophetic fulfillment wrapped in humanity, high enough to cause the wisest and richest to prostrate themselves in worshipful adoration, high enough to create an unceasing sense of wonder in the hearts and minds of scholars and rulers alike. A cross, a cradle, but also a cross. Rugged and crude, yet magnificent and lofty. Low enough that it could be borne on a man's back and burned into a man's heart. Low enough to bear the curse of sin that burdens the inhabitants of all the earth. Low enough to pierce the depths of hell and decimate its machinery of hate and death. Low enough for all men to hear the dying words of the Savior's lips, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." Low enough, yet high enough as well. High enough for Jesus to draw all men unto himself. High enough to become the focal point of all human history. High enough to confound and defy human reason. High enough to be the consummate display for divine wisdom. High enough for the blood that Jesus shed to cover all the sins of all the people ever born from every nation, tribe, and tongue. High enough for every spiritual power in the heavenly places to hear and cringe at the judgment rendered them by these triumphant words spoken from that cross. It is finished. A table, a cradle, a cross, but a table, plain and ordinary, yet celebrated and honored, low enough that all believers of every age could come to it and worship, low enough to bear the symbols of his death, his purifying blood and his broken body, low enough to proclaim the sacrificial offering of a sinless life for the iniquities of fallen men, low enough for all to come and touch and receive, low enough, yet high enough as well. High enough to endure and outlast all the rituals of all the ages. High enough to herald the power of life that overcame the grave. High enough to proclaim the blood that washes clean the impurities of a sinful heart. High enough to be the meeting place for a merciful God and a forgiven sinner. High enough to cause his spirit to search our hearts and create right motives within us. High enough to represent all that God has done for us in his Son. A cradle, a table, and a cross. A cradle where a sinless human life came into this world. A cross where that sinless life was given for you and me. A table where we can recall that birth and remember that death and celebrate the resurrection and ascension that followed it. A table that links the gift of his life and the gift of his death with the gift of forgiveness of sins and life everlasting. A cradle, a cross, a table. Low enough to bring God's life to earth for our salvation, high enough to touch us with his power for our transformation. Low enough to get to him to us and high enough to get us to him. A cradle, a cross, a table. This Christmas, may we receive them all, believe them all, and rejoice in them all. He has first loved us that we might forever love and be loved by him. A cradle, a cross, a table. These represent far more than a seasonal sentiment or a religious ritual or liturgy. They represent the relational reality of God, very God, the God of heaven, sending the Spirit of God to live in your life, to take residence in your heart as you place your faith in his Son. When we invite Jesus into our lives, we experience life in the fullest, most vital sense. Lord, I pray that you would cause those words to penetrate our understanding, to lay hold of that place in our hearts where we say that we believe, And Lord, tonight I'm asking for you to awaken in hearers and listeners the reality of your desire to be that kind of God to every kind of person. And Holy Spirit, for those of us who could go back in our life and put our finger maybe even on a calendar date and said, I gave my life to him then. That's the day that I became a believer. Lord, I pray you would reacquaint us with the wonder of that moment, and that we would walk out of here so assured about who you are in us and who we are in you, that there's that thing that all the movies say, that we would live in the Christmas spirit all the year. Jesus, you are the spirit of Christmas. You're the purpose for it all. And we ask that you would gain that kind of influence in our lives and raise up that kind of affection in our hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen. I really like that. Here's the deal, and I always love to do this at this time. I just kind of prayed a prayer to open people's hearts. If you have never given your heart to Jesus, whether you're watching us online or you're with us, I'm going to ask everybody just to bow your head just a second if you can, because I'm going to pray a prayer out loud and ask you to pray it quietly or silently. And please, nobody look around. Let everybody have a little private moment here. Heavenly Father, come to you tonight on the basis of the Word of God. You say that you want no one to perish, but everyone to come to a knowledge of the truth. And you tell us that Jesus is the truth. Lord, tonight, I open the door of my heart. I ask you to come in and set up your throne in my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. Lord, I confess that I have done things that I should not have and have refused to do things that I should have. I ask for you to cleanse me and forgive me of all the things that fall into that category. And now, Lord, would you cause your spirit to rise up within me and cause me to know that I am yours and you are mine. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you did that and you're in this room, you tell somebody, perhaps the person you came with, come and grab one of us if you'd like to, but tell somebody, you know, I prayed with Pastor John tonight. And then we'd love to be able to help you. But listen, you can walk out of here tonight with all those things I just read about true about you. That's a wonderful thing. Well, Lord, thank you that we get to be part tonight of celebrating something that people all over the world are singing about and praying about and gathering about tonight. Lord, we long for the reality of all of the reasons Jesus came, all of the things he died for, all of the things the resurrection meant, and all of the things the outpouring of the Spirit of God was intended for the church. And Lord, we pray that you would cause us, like a child opening a present, to find the sweetness and the newness and the power of all those things that this night means. We celebrate your goodness, Lord. We say thank you tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for hanging out in the cold with us tonight. And you are released.